So we're looking in Daniel chapter 12, and we won't be long this morning. Daniel chapter 12, finishing off Daniel. And we're just going to look at the first four verses of Daniel chapter 12. And so it comes at the end of a prolonged period in Daniel, which speaks about all the things that will happen towards the end times. And if you want to understand all of them, and how they all apply today, speak to Alistair after the service. But we're going to go, and this is just the pinnacle of that. So all of the things that happen, the wars, nations rising up against nations, this is the end. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a tongue on the board. They have no control over where they're going. Whenever I'm playing, I don't have any idea where they're going either. But whenever those guys are playing, they know where those pawns, those pieces are going. And they're maneuvering them around. The pawns don't have any say in it. They're just there to be shoved around the board. And it's easy sometimes when we read passages like Daniel, which speak of these great cosmic events, to feel like maybe are we just pawns in this great, God's great big chessboard. And we have no say, and we have nothing we can do can influence what's going to happen in the future. And just the end will come, and God will do it, and we'll just have to watch. And in a sense, we should read Daniel and the apocalyptic literature like Revelation. A little like that, it should make us feel that we are small, that God is big, and God does have a big plan. But whenever we get to these verses, I think they're to encourage Daniel and to encourage the readers that you are not just pawns, helpless pawns on God's chessboard, but that as we live in these days, what we do makes a difference. How we live makes a difference. I've just got three quick points this morning. In Daniel chapter 12, as we read, so in verse 1, it talks about Michael as this prince. Different people see Michael different ways. Some people see Michael as a foreshadowing of Jesus, or maybe he is an angel sent to guard God's people. He's the prince who protects your people. He will arise. And there's this great distress before the end comes. But it says the end will come. In verse 2, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. It's one of the clearest pictures in the Old Testament of the resurrection from the dead, of the general resurrection. But saying the end will come. And speaking to us, telling us this morning that eternity is a reality. That this world will end. And that will not be the end of the story. There is another story after this story. Eternity is a reality. And lots of people, the narrative of today, that's not the narrative that people speak about, not the narrative that people tell, that people believe today. Today it's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die, and that's it. And just make the most of this life, and that's the end of it. But clearly that story is not enough. I don't know if there's a band, they're very contemporary for my sort of enjoyment, but I do quite like them, called the 1975. And they've got a line in it, they're very with it, very finger on the pulse of culture. And they have this line where they say, modernity has failed us. Modernity has failed us. These very cool, hip millennials. And he cries out, saw them at the radio one weekend, thousands and thousands of people there, all singing along. Modernity has failed us. And they can see the story that modern life offers us. If this is it, enjoy your life, nothing more to it. It isn't enough. It's not a good enough story. It doesn't give us enough to live for in this life. It doesn't give us a moral value. Why live right? Why live a good life if this is it? If there's nothing else? What is love if there's nothing more than just this world? What is joy? What is it? Is there a purpose in pain? Is there a purpose in suffering? Why make an effort in this life? And so he cries out, modernity has failed us. And the Bible from the beginning offers us a bigger story. A story that doesn't fail us. This life, there is more than just this life. That eternity is a reality. God says that there is this life and then there is a judgment. We are not inconsequential beings who just live and die and that's it. Our actions matter. You matter. What you do in this life matters. And it sounds, people can think, oh, preaching or talking about the judgment is very degrading, or and tweets that people put out about judgment say it's very degrading. But actually it gives human beings a greater value. To say that you are just material, you live, you die, and that's it, that's degrading. But to say what you do in this life matters, and you will face a judgment, it's actually to elevate humanity to a far higher position. Your actions, your life matters, and that's what Daniel is being told. Eternity is a reality. Our actions matter. C.S. Lewis has a famous quote where he says, "There are no ordinary people. There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal, and their life to ours is as the life of a gnat. But it is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. Immortal horrors or everlasting splendors." So the people in your family, the people in your workplace, people on the bus, the people in the cars across the road, people who you toot your horn at and get angry with, the people who you gossip about, the people who you snub, the people who you don't care about, they're immortal. They're immortal beings. And so are you. Eternity is a reality. Eternity is a reality. And living wisely in this life leads to shining brightly in the next. Living wisely leads to shining brightly. He's told multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. But those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. Those who were wise in this life will shine like the brightness of the heavens. What is wisdom in the Bible? What does it mean to be wise? It doesn't mean to be clever. It doesn't mean to have a PhD. It doesn't mean to be smart, head smart, thankfully, or out of no hope. What is wisdom? The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Acknowledging, and not when I say fear, it's not a terror, being terrified of God, but acknowledging that He is Lord. Acknowledging that He is the one who saves, that He is King, and we live under His creation. That's what it means to be wise. It doesn't matter how clever you are. It's about acknowledging that God is King. It's about firstly putting our trust in Him, asking Him to take away our sin, to follow Christ. And then it's to live a life that acknowledges that He is our ruler. He is the one who is Lord. That the kings of this world, the fads, the ideology of the current age, which come and go and have throughout all of human history, they are not our king. The fads of this generation, they are not our gods. We were not created to just follow the latest fashion. We were made for more than that. But we're to live under his rule. And living like that, we will shine brightly in eternity, but we'll also shine brightly now. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." We're called to shine, not just in the next life, to shine now, to live for Him. And shining now does mean living in a way that's distinct from the world, not holding just to the world's values. Shining brightly now is hard. It can lead to being thought of as being odd. It can lead to accusations of whatever. It can lead to even persecution. By shining, you're being different. A light doesn't blend into the background. It lights it up. It's bright. It's distinct. And that's how we as God's people are called to be. Shining brightly now can carry a cost. And maybe in your workplace, maybe in your family, maybe in some other context, you are paying a cost for shining, for being different. But shining brightly now leads to shining brightly in eternity. And Daniel is being told, and we are being told, that hard times will come. This persecution will come. Verse 1, it says there will be a time of distress, such as not happened from the beginning of nations. Distress is coming. Followers of Jesus are not meant and will not have it easy. Shining brightly now carries a cost. But there is a reward. It's not clear if Daniel, when he talks about shining like the stars, it's not clear if he's talking about if those stars are angels or literal stars. But the point is that in eternity, we will be filled with this glory. The light is not our light in heaven. We will not shine because we are so glorious and bright and wonderful. And we will shine because we will be with God. In heaven, there's no night because God is the light. He is bright. And so heaven is that being filled with the glory of God, that we will so shine like stars in the sky when we behold him, the glorious one. So live wisely now. Hang in there. Keep shining bright now. Because one day we will shine brighter than we can possibly imagine. You know, isn't it in Revelation, whenever John sees an angel, he bows down and he wants to worship the angel. Such is the brightness, the magnificence of the angel. And the angel says, no, get up, don't worship me. I'm not Jesus. Don't worship me. So there's the magnificence of heaven. Those who are filled with the glory of God. And lastly and finally, shining brightly makes a difference in eternity. Shining brightly makes a difference in eternity. Look in verse 3. Those who are wise will shine like brightness of heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Those who lead others to righteousness will shine like the stars in the sky. God is speaking about people who led others to righteousness, who told others about the righteousness that's found in God himself. They spoke to others about God's love, about God's coming judgment. They spoke to people about the salvation that God has. They told people about how God had changed them and how God can change them as well. Those who tell others, who share others of the goodness of God, they are promised this amazing reward. We so easily lose our perspective. Our life becomes about work, holidays, just the here and the now, and our happiness can rise and fall like the weather on our politics of the day or our circumstances. And Daniel's saying, times will be tough. And as a church, the church will get a battering. So Revelation promises the church will be persecuted, will be hard. But he's saying, don't despair at the toughness of the times. And or maybe we need to hear, don't get complacent because of the comfort of the times. Don't lose our perspective of what we were put here on this earth to do, to shine brightly, make a difference for eternity. And so for those heading off over the summer on teams, that's what you're doing. You're taking an opportunity to shine brightly, taking an opportunity to make a difference for eternity. And so those who are going to stand in front of 20 or 30 children, or 10, 5 children, and teach them a verse, teach them a song, tell them a Bible story. You're shining, but you're making a difference. And it's so easy to belittle those things and think they're small and consequential, just something that happens in the summer. Those make a difference for eternity. Those serving in the summer, as a church, we want to bless you. And one day you will shine more brightly in heaven because of your service for Jesus. Whether it's a week in Ireland or wherever it is, God will bless you for what you do. It is not trivial serving Jesus. And those not involved, not just in the summertime, but if we're not involved in any sort of gospel work, if we're not involved in any way, shape or form of telling others about Jesus, why not? Why not? It's our calling here on this earth. We put on this earth, our church is about making Jesus known. Shining brightly makes a difference in eternity. When that day comes when we are resurrected and we stand before Jesus, I think there are a few things that we will lament more than the lack of time we spent in telling others about Christ. We need to take that seriously. It's our purpose here on this earth. So for those going, or maybe for those for whom the summer is a break, they're hard at ministry all through the year and the summer's a break. For those going and serving over the summer, bless you and be encouraged. Maybe that'll be a challenge to the rest of us. What are we doing? How are we serving Jesus? How are we shining brightly now to make a difference for eternity? I'm going to pray, and then we're going to just take a moment to pray for those who are going off over the summer. So, Father, thank you so much for your word. And let it be a challenge to us. Let it be an encouragement to us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that we have a message to share of the Son of God who loved us and he gave himself up for us. In Jesus' name, amen.